Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, what do you know about Pittsburgh?
Well, I know these three things, Patrick. One, there are three major rivers in Pittsburgh. The Allegheny and the Monongahela come together to form the Ohio River. And two, the local delicacy there is the pierogi, largely because of the sizable population of Polish heritage.
That's interesting, Jim, but that's only two. You said three things.
Oh, yeah. And third, Steelers suck!
That was classic.
Okay, Patrick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, Jim. How are you doing? The weather is lovely in our part of the world the past couple days.
It is, and yet I'm down here in the basement. Why am I doing that?
Too.
I should have taken...
my records are down here. Yeah, that's why I'm down here.
I should have taken this recording equipment out on the deck today. I wasn't thinking. I could have done that.
Yep.
But yeah, the weather is nice. We're still stuck, you know, in our respective homes here in Northern Virginia because of the health crisis in America. Things are starting to reopen where we live, but I haven't really been partaking of that too much yet. I'm still cautious and waiting to see how things go. But in the meantime, yes, you have a lot of records to listen to. I got a whole bunch of new stuff that I'm going to make a little video of for our Patreon.
Great.
Just so you know, going through the new records I've purchased through the mail, you know, these last, which is funny. I'll just say this real quick. You know, I like to go record shopping as much as the next guy and sort through the crates and the bins and all of that and look for stuff, you know, try to get some finds and some deals and all that. Totally. But I got to tell you, there's something so easy about just like, you know what record I'd like to have? And then just Googling it and then like clicking and buying it, you know?
That's right.
And
it is nice.
I've been doing that a lot lately. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay. So this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we do a thing on the show. We have patrons of the podcast, a number of people who help support the show and our expenses and whatnot. And one of the perks that some of those people get is they get to be on the show on a regular basis and get to pick the topic. All right?
Yep.
Now, every once in a while, we'll have a patron whose turn comes up and that person will say, I would like to gift this appearance to someone else. Yeah. Okay.
That's fun.
So that's what we're doing today. So the patron is Barrett Reese. He's been a longtime listener. He lives in the Pittsburgh area.
He does.
And he turned us on to a coworker of his who is a musician and said, why don't you have this guy on the podcast and just talk to him about his music? So what do you think, Patrick? Yay or nay? Okay. You're in for this.
Yay.
Okay. All right. Because if not, I was going to have to, you know, kick him off real quick. Join us on the Zoom.
Or kick me off.
Yeah, okay.
One of the two.
Yeah, all right. So we have with us Cody Piper. Cody, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good,
man.
So you obviously are also in the Pittsburgh area. You said the northern suburbs of Pittsburgh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just north of Pittsburgh.
Okay. And first, I want to ask, how old are you, Cody?
I'm 24.
Okay. So this is a young musician in our midst, Patrick. We are probably the oldest men you've ever seen. I think
I mean, certainly, it's great to reach people of all ages. Yeah, so
that's
I'm
cool.
happy to be on.
No, we love it. We love showcasing young talent.
Absolutely,
I think that's great. And I think that's what Barry/Barrett, part of his pitch to us was that he was just so impressed when he heard your music and he was like, this kid really has something and he deserves a bigger audience. So that's why he wanted to give this to
inside, but there's still time before I'll give it my best try. I've got a feeling that I want to hide, but I can only push so much to the side. Take the next exit into the sun.
Thank you.
And Cody, you and Barrett work together there, right? And is he still doing international arms smuggling? Is that what you guys do, or is it something different?
Yeah, he's taking me under his wing.
Okay.
That's but what I thought. Yeah, we're both software engineers. We both work for Thermo Fisher. So I just started there. It's my first job out of college. I started there in September. So.
Mm-hmm. And you went to Carnegie Mellon, is that right?
Yep,
mm-hmm. I did. That's in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, it's like right next to Pitt. It like almost basically shares the same campus.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And did you study music or computer engineering there? Or?
I majored in computer science there, and mm-hmm. I minored in music there. Cool. And I used to actually, before I went there for college, I used to take lessons. Like I would take piano lessons starting when I was about 5 or 6. Because my grandpa used to teach there. He taught double bass. So I was like in their prep school for a number of years. And then I went to a private teacher. Then I ended up going there for college, obviously. So, yeah.
And so you did mention your grandfather, who I'm reading here on one of the articles we were sent. Anthony Bianco, is that right? He played double bass in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra for just 55 years.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah, I think he still has the record for like the longest tenure, whatever you want to call it. Wow. I don't know exactly what it's called, but yeah. And I don't know if you can see that picture up there, yeah. But that's actually, it's kind of in the background, but that's a picture of him, kind of an epic looking pose in the shadows, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, he was a really great bassist, obviously, to be in the symphony for that long. When I started doing music, he kind of lost his hearing a little bit. So I never mm-hmm. really got to hear him play like at the height of his powers, I guess. Wow. But he was always like really serious about music, and he taught me stuff so young. So now like a lot of the ear training and stuff like that, I knew from, I mean, he had me do stuff when I was like 6. So when I went to college and was taking classes about that for my minor, it was all just like second nature to me. So mm-hmm. I have a lot to be thankful to him for obviously getting me into music and I guess helping me get better at it through the years.
Wow, that's a cool legacy to be a part of. It really is. The Cal Ripken of the Symphony Orchestra. That's amazing. Well,
that is a lot of years of hauling that giant instrument around. Man.
That's true. That's definitely true. No, not a lot of people like to do that anymore, but every so often you see people taking those double basses around and playing gigs and stuff.
Did your grandfather only play classical music, or did he do like jazz and other kinds of stuff like that, or what were his interests?
As far as I know, he actually started with jazz, and I think he started on like the tuba. So I guess he was just naturally drawn to like the low bassy instruments.
Bass clef instruments, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think he started with the tuba and he started by doing jazz. And then I don't know if you know like the conductor Toscanini, but he was like his idol, I guess. Like my grandpa loved Toscanini and I think it was like his dream to play with him. So I guess he got more and more into classical music and classical bass. And he did play with him at one point, I think, as part of, it was either NBC or New York Philharmonic or something like that. But that was way before my time, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, so he, I guess, made the shift to classical music. And I mean, that was his true love. His favorite composer was Beethoven. So, and he imparted that onto me, I guess. And I actually have an uncle who's a jazz guitarist. So it's interesting because he's like the jazz guy. And then my grandpa was like classical, and now I'm kind of more into like the rock and pop thing.
Right.
But I mean, I love all those influences, and certainly classical music has had a huge influence on my music.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I want to get into the stuff you're doing now, but I think that's interesting, your background, because obviously you started playing piano, you said at 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it was at that time, you know, well, probably when you're first learning, it's a lot of different things, but I would guess most of your training was probably in classical music early on in your life, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I took classical lessons up until, I mean, I took them through college actually. So I always kind of had the classical theory and the, I guess, technique that you get from learning classical music. Sometimes I wish I would have had more like jazz training, because I haven't really had like formal jazz training or anything like that. But in learning like pop and rock music and just jazz music and like listening to it on my own, I've kind of taught myself the more jazz side of theory as well, starting when I was about in high school.
The only jazz training you need, you just got to find a club where like the old guys play and you just go and you like sit in. That's your training. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I could definitely play jazz, and I can sound like I know what I'm doing, but there are people that are just like wizards yeah. with jazz. But I mean, I just try to listen to as many different kinds of music as I can, really. And I think that gives me a better perspective on my own styles that I like to
well,
do.
Well, so mm-hmm. how did this background influence the kind of music that you're doing now?
Well, certainly harmonically, it's influenced my music a lot because mm-hmm. classical music to me is all about inversions and modulations and cool harmonic things that in modern pop music aren't quite as heavily used. And actually, like, to me, the pop music that I like the most is from like the 60s and 70s, because I think that was kind of the era where it was sort of bridging that gap. And there were still a lot of really interesting harmonies and chord progressions being used. Mm-hmm. And like my favorite mm-hmm. musicians ever are the Beatles. And I mean, they're like some of the kings of pop music harmony. I mean, everybody knows that pretty much. And bands like the Beach Boys too is another one. So to me, I find the harmonic side of music really interesting. And that's probably the part of songwriting that I enjoy the most too. And it's really challenging, I think, because, you know, you listen to some music that might be like more progressive, like prog rock and stuff like that. And they obviously have crazy harmonies, and jazz has crazy harmonies. But when I go back and listen to like classical music, or I listen to old pop music that uses these interesting harmonies, it's still very accessible to somebody that doesn't know a lot about music theory and a lot about harmony. It still sounds good to those people too. And I think that's a really cool thing, and that's something I try to do with my music. So that's definitely something I learned early on with classical music, is definitely my love for harmony and functional harmony.
I wish I could believe in my mind that it's all right. I'm always thinking about you and I until the end of the night. Everyone seems to tell me that I'm missing everything. My time when I don't remember
heard of a band called the Verlaines?
No, I have not.
So there's this band, you should check them out. There's this band called the Verlaines, and I bring it up because I find it so interesting what you're saying. There's this guy Graham Downs who led the Verlaines. They were on a small New Zealand label called Flying Nun Records, and there's some of us who are kind of around the rock in the suburbs community who really like this music. But what he did was he really in an interesting way incorporated classical music structure into his sort of indie rock, sort of 60s bass rock and roll, but he didn't do it like by putting in string overdubs or by having a string quartet with him or writing charts to go with his chords. He literally would write 61 different chords, you know, and and change those in and have these rising and falling sections that really evoked the spirit of some of the stuff he loved, like Mahler and some of these other people. I mean, the stories about this guy are crazy. Like, apparently when he was in college, everybody would be at like the college party and he would like go over to the stereo and take off whatever was playing instead of putting on his like mixtape. He would put on some symphony that he was totally into, you know, like let everybody like blast it and get into stuff that way. But that's a band I think you should check out and listen to, especially some of their earlier stuff. Just very, very interesting use of chords. I saw him play one time and, gosh, I've never seen so many diminished sevenths and ninths chords being played all up and down the neck. It was just crazy. And every song there must have been, you know, I mean, we talk about three chords in the truth, you know, with rock and roll, but he must have had 33 different chords in every single song. I mean, it's really cool stuff. It's a totally different approach to classical music influencing the way you approach your composition. So I think you might find it very interesting.
I
think there's a lot of stuff on Spotify and stuff.
The Verlaines.
The Verlaines. Yeah. Check them out.
Graham Downs. Definitely check them out. Yeah. Another thing too, I kind of didn't even really get into like pop and rock music until I was a teenager because you know, a lot of people my age kind of grew up with like iPods.
Yep.
Whenever I was growing up, kind of the internet obviously was starting to blow up. But I didn't have like an iPod until I had an iPhone when I was 17 or 16 or something like that. So I was like super late with that. And I mean, we didn't even have internet in my house till I was about 13 or so. So I couldn't just like go on YouTube all the time and listen to songs. So for me, like during my early years, it was like classical music. And then another thing for me was soundtrack music, especially like, I mean, I've always been like really into video games. A lot of people from my generation are obviously.
Totally.
But some like video game soundtrack music and then like movie soundtrack music and stuff like that is so like harmonically, again, it's written so thoughtfully. And I mean, these composers have to understand kind of how different chords function, and not only harmonically, but like emotionally too.
Yeah.
I mean, these people that make soundtracks clearly have a great understanding of harmony, just like the classical composers did. And yeah, once again, to me, that's like such a fascinating thing. I think you could say a lot with just harmony and not even have to use words, obviously, because classical music and soundtrack music don't have lyrics a lot of the time.
Yeah, totally.
So you could speak with just that.
Mm-hmm. So when you started getting into like rock and pop and stuff like that, what were you listening to?
Early on, one of the bands that I really got into was Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
Nice.
And especially their second album called Pretty Odd. And this was like before I liked the Beatles and stuff too, because I didn't really know a lot of the Beatles music for a while. But that album was heavily influenced by the same era of music that I was just saying I like, which is the 60s and 70s. So it's kind of funny because that album, which was essentially a tribute kind of to that era, got me into the music of that era. And it's interesting too, because that album came out around, I think, 2008. And I was watching a video by this guy who's like really smart. He has a YouTube channel named Adam. His name's Adam Neely. And he makes these really interesting videos like about music philosophy almost. And one of the things that he says, I saw in like one of his videos, is that your music tastes really get influenced around the time when you're like 13 or 14. So for me, I guess like that album, I would listen to it constantly. And that kind of just carried over to me liking all the music of that old era as well. That album I would listen to every day, like over and over again for years, not even exaggerating. And then eventually I kind of got into the Beatles and older bands like that. And now lately I'm kind of getting more into modern pop, which is interesting because I guess I like went back in time and now I'm coming back to the present. I feel like I've just hit the tip of the iceberg. Like there's so much stuff for me to find.
Well, look at the records behind Patrick right there. So you can
get a sense. Yeah, definitely. And I'll definitely check out the Verlaines. Maybe, maybe it'll end up being one of my favorites.
Yeah. So it's interesting, Cody, when you go to compose original music, do you have a certain approach that you take? I mean, do you write stuff out, you know, like in notes, or are you just jamming on a particular instrument and waiting for an inspiration to hit you? How do you compose?
Yeah, originally when I started, it was kind of just that I would sit at the piano and play stuff. And I would, if I thought I came up with something cool, I would record it on my phone and then like go back and work on it and finish it later. And then I would add lyrics after the fact, after I would add the melody and stuff like that. But now I'm kind of just becoming more and more varied, where now a lot of the times I might hear something that somebody says, like a cool phrase or something, and I might try and write a song lyrically first, or like a thematic concept based off of something that somebody says or based off of something that I'm feeling. So a lot of times now when I write music, it starts with the lyrics, which I never did years ago. And I'm obviously also trying to branch out from just starting on piano and doing stuff on guitar to start, maybe coming up with a rhythm on the drums or something like that. So trying to become more and more varied, because I think that that really is like what causes the music to become more varied itself instead of being locked into the same tendencies and I guess styles.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that a lot of songwriters do that. It's like, I need to bust out of writing these same kind of style of song. So now I'm going to write a song on the piano instead of the guitar or stuff like that. It just changes your mindset or your way of sort of approaching the music, right?
Definitely. Yeah, because you have to, if you're playing an instrument that you're not very comfortable with, and like for me, when I record my songs, I play all the instruments, but like I'm certainly not even close to being as good at guitar as I am at piano, because I've just played piano for so much longer.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm playing guitar, I really have to rely on my ears a lot more than my fingers and like my muscle memory as I would with piano. So it causes you to come up with things that you never would have thought you even had in your head. And sometimes even just like messing up when I'm playing on guitar or even on piano. If I'm just like playing and recording something and I mess up, it might sound better than something I would have came up with if I actually was playing the thing I meant to play. So
yeah, happy accidents.
Sometimes happy accidents are like the coolest things in music.
The times that we spent, the places we went,
talk about that. I'm reminded of something the American guitarist John Fahey once said about the way he composed. He said he tried to practice for at least 3 hours at a time straight because he felt that it took about 90 minutes to 2 hours to get rid of all the stuff that's sort of caught in your brain that you may have heard and you know you may be working on, and he thought once you got past all that, then you were in fresh, like wet cement, like you could make an impression, you know, at that point once you got rid of all that kind of superfluous stuff. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of songs too that I come up with are based off of maybe a harmony or a harmonic progression or a melody or whatever of some other song or multiple songs that maybe I try to merge into the song that I'm writing. But obviously when you're doing that, you also have to make sure, like you said, that you're not just, you know, ripping off the song essentially. Yeah. So that's always a challenge. You have to, you know, kind of take the things that you hear but also make them unique and make them your own. But that's always, I mean, I think that's like some of the most fun things in music for me is coming up with songs. It's so creative. And to me, music is all about creativity.
That's great.
That's well said. Yeah.
So last year you started to put out some recorded music, right? I want to get to that, but real quick before we do, when you were a kid, I mean, you're still kind of a kid to me, but when you were younger, did you play in bands at all or anything like that? Or
yeah, I played in a couple bands for the past few years or so, but recently I just kind of stopped and now I'm kind of just focusing on my solo music. And when I was younger, like I did a lot of stuff through school, obviously, and like I was doing the classical thing too. I played in the musicals when I was in school. I played in the choir. I played some of the stuff for like the band and stuff because they would just have me kind of learn a bunch of the accompaniments in my school. And I actually joined a band too when I was like 13, but I was only in the band for like a few weeks. It was like a symphonic metal band, which was really interesting. And like, it was kind of cool, but it wasn't really for me. So then I was like, oh man, I don't know if bands are really meant for me. But then like, once I got into college, I found a couple bands that I joined. And I knew at that point that I wanted to be in a band because like, we had been talking about by then I had kind of started recognizing that pop and rock music is kind of what I wanted to do. So yeah, I've played in a few bands. For me now, I just really enjoy recording stuff on my own. Like I just do it all at my house pretty much.
Right.
I just do it all in my bedroom.
That's what I was going to get to. To people of an older generation, they would just find that to be like absurd. Like maybe you could do a demo in your house, but you can't do a proper recording. You got to get studio and book time and all that and have a producer and an engineer and all these kinds of things. But that's not true today, right? I mean, you can do really professional sounding recordings just like on your own, right?
Yeah. And I think it's making people better musicians too, as a result, because now a lot of people are kind of becoming the whole package deal, which I'm kind of trying to be. I mean, I'm getting better at certain elements, but I mean, nowadays, if you're doing stuff in your bedroom, and that's a legit scene now, you have to have a good producer's mindset. You can't just be a good songwriter and you can't just be a good player. You have to be able to produce, you have to be able to engineer and mix and whatnot. So you kind of have to be able to understand how the whole picture is coming together, which it's certainly not a bad thing to get help from people and get producers to work on your tracks, because the flip side to that is now a lot of songs have like 10 producers and 10 songwriters on them and stuff like that. So I guess it's kind of like, for me, I literally just write it and produce it all myself. But I think a lot of people now are just becoming more about the whole package deal, and especially in production, in terms of people being better at producing music. I think that's kind of something now that's just changing music, and a lot of music is based on the technology that people are using, which in people's rooms is just their laptop and like a MIDI keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make so much music with that now, and a lot of music's just based on samples, which since like a few years ago, like I said, I had mostly been into older music. I kind of shied away from using samples, but now that I'm getting more into more modern pop music and indie rock music and stuff like that, that use a lot more sample-based drum parts and whatever, I'm kind of trying to dive into that part too. And I think it's good to just be able to do these things and have a variety in your music, kind of just like what we were talking about before. It's always good to write songs with different goals and different tendencies in your head, as opposed to just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you recorded a single, It's Only You, and mm-hmm. put that out. And then you did a 6-song EP called Bygones, right?
Yep.
And this was all last year?
Yes. Yeah, it was all last year. I'm actually I'm just finishing it up. I'm remixing all that stuff because now I feel that I'm a much better mixer than I was then. So I'm remixing all that stuff. I'm going to put it out in like a few weeks.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and then I have like some more music that I've been working on since then. Certainly. Okay.
What has the reaction been to the music that you put out last year? I mean, you know, Barry aside, what other reaction have you got?
Well, I mean, certainly I don't have a huge fan base yet, so it's kind of just restricted to my friends and family. But a lot of people, I mean, I got really good feedback on it, and especially from people that only thought that I could play like classical piano. Like people didn't know. I had never like sang in public up until basically I released that music. I never played guitar for people, never played drums or anything like that. So a lot of people only knew me as being able to play like classical piano.
Yeah.
So then I kind of put this out and people were like, wow, like, did you do this all yourself? And it's like, yeah, I did. Not necessarily that it should enhance the music that I did it all myself, but just I guess the fact that I did it all myself kind of like resonates with people. And that was something that shocked a lot of my friends because they didn't know I could do that.
You were blowing people's minds with this music, right?
I tried to. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully at some point I can reach more people with it. So that's what I'm going to try and do this year and the coming years. So
I'm going to tell you who I heard in this music, I think, a little bit, and tell me if this person influenced you at all. Probably, I would think, from a piano background, but it reminded me of Ben Folds.
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Okay.
It's so funny. And I really don't listen to Ben Folds that much, but I do understand it because I'm really into, and I've noticed from the songs of his that I've listened to, he's really like a percussive piano player. And a lot of his piano parts are very like bouncy, which to me is one of the coolest sounds. And that's certainly, when we're going back to talking about tendencies, that's definitely a tendency of mine in my own songs. And that's, again, something I picked up on the Beatles. You think of a song like Penny Lane, it's literally just the piano just pounding the chords, and it's just such a bouncy song. And I've always thought that's like one of the coolest sounds in pop rock music. So certainly, yeah, with Ben Folds being a piano player, singer, songwriter and stuff, I've gotten a lot of a lot of people have told me that I sound like Ben Folds. But I mean, I've tried to, like I said, I'm trying to find more and more music, and I've certainly dove into some of his stuff, and I definitely want to do more of it because I like the music that I hear from him as well.
That guy. So I agree with you. I mean, he does have sort of a rhythmic and percussive style with the way he plays piano. He sort of treats the piano as maybe like others would treat the guitar in some way, and sort of being a rock instrument. But I'll also tell you this one funny story. I went to see him perform several years ago, and for his encore, he did this song. It's called One Angry Dwarf and a Thousand Solemn Faces or something like that. But I think I have the title a little bit wrong. But anyway, it's just a really fun like rocking song. But he said, we're going to play this as fast as we possibly can, and talk about blowing minds. It was amazing. You know, like how fast he could play the piano and pull off that song. So
yeah, he's certainly a great player. And I mean, I've seen videos of him like with symphony orchestras sitting down and improvising an entire song just on the spot. So I mean, certainly if he could do stuff like that, he's a fantastic musician. So yeah, I'm gonna have to keep checking him out because everybody tells me that. It's so funny.
Yeah.
You also have to find your own way too. So that's
definitely.
You gotta find your own voice, your own song.
I'm not so mounts. but it doesn't really count. Whoa. Where has this grown? We've reached a lonely world unknown. The ceiling's down. Is there any way to get my feet back off the ground? Live for the day. And I'm just waiting for a day. Live for the day. When my luck will start to sway. Live for the day. Open our minds up and find a way. Live for the day. And it'll all be okay. Live for the day.
Any of the your classical, you know, people that you grew up studying with, Cody, did ever get upset and they've like thrown rocks through your window with notes that say you've sold out to like rock and roll and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess not like really. Dylan. No, I guess not really. Like even my grandpa, because I would, you know, a lot of times when I was younger, I would just sit down and kind of compose stuff in the piano when I was like eight, and it would be based on like the video game music that I heard or whatever, because I used to like think it was so cool to make a video game, and that's also kind of why I got into software engineering, funny enough. But but yeah, so like that was always something I thought of. So I would just sit down and play stuff, and my grandpa was like, wow, your style's like really, it's almost, it's like more jazzy even though you haven't really studied that at all, which I think to him, like, jazz is kind of a looser term because, I guess, like, compared to classical music, pop music is certainly a lot more on the jazz end of things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, I mean, he was always, like, really encouraging with that. And, like, all my teachers that I would study with, like, if I played them some of my music, they were really, you know, they've always been supportive of me. Mm-hmm. My family's been really supportive of me, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, I haven't caught much backlash from the classical music community. But...
Well, yeah. I was mostly kidding with that question, but but let me ask you this though. I find it very interesting listening to you talk. Do you ever find when you're composing your own music that you have to sort of rein yourself in to not like, let me not overplay this, you know, like
we talk
about this a lot on our show, how difficult it is to make a simple song. Like it's very, very hard to make a very simple, beautiful song that people remember, but do you ever find, you know, like, a minute, I can't put an, you know, an arigato or whatever in that.
Yeah, definitely. That happens a lot. Even just with the harmony again, like a lot of times, like I end up just simplifying it to the point where it might just be like a simple chord progression and I change like one chord.
Yeah.
And that makes it sound really interesting to me. And sometimes that's really all it takes. And not even just for writing and playing, a lot of times it's producing too.
Yeah.
You don't want to overproduce things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly if you're doing stuff in the pop music realm, you really have to think about that and restrain yourself a lot because it's not going to be as digestible if you're doing crazy stuff all the time.
Well, the production thing is such a good point. I mean, even with basic software like we use here, you know, very simple off the shelf stuff, you got a 64 band equalizer and like 12 different reverb settings and echo, and you can do all kinds. You could spend hours, you know, producing it after the fact. It's such a good point.
Well, I was going to ask about that. Does your computer knowledge help you with production?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, it probably just helped me to learn the actual software faster, I guess.
Yeah.
But probably more so, I guess my music background would have helped me with that. And I mean, I took some classes in college too, like about recording and mixing and multi-track recording and whatever. So I kind of learned a little bit about that in college. And then aside from that, it's kind of just, I listen to music and I try and figure out what it is that I like about certain songs and what it is that I like about the way people produce music and the way that they arrange music. And then I just try and do it. And I watch a lot of YouTube videos to try and figure stuff out. And really at the end of the day, it just comes down to doing it a lot. So,
you know, in the old days of like, say the 60s and early 70s, they used to actually have to program synthesizers to get them to play. It wasn't like a keyboard kind of thing like now. Yeah. That always just kind of amazes me that somebody.
Yeah, definitely. it's come a long way for sure.
So what are your plans? Where do you want to go with music?
Well, I mean, I'd love to be able to do it as my career or just full time. I don't know if, you know, maybe Barry wants to hear that, but hopefully he likes, hopefully he likes working with me. But, but yeah, I mean, I would love to do music for my, you know, just as my life. I mean, it's definitely what I'm most passionate about in life. And I have a lot of different passions in life, but I've kind of tried to explore all the different passions that I've had. But for me, music is definitely like my number one. And that's what I've been focusing on pretty much ever since I started college. Obviously, like we talked about, I studied computer science in college too, because I wanted to be able to make some money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to continue doing music and keep promoting it. And hopefully someday I'll have a fan base and can maybe do it.
I don't know. So is this sort of the model for you, is to just, you know, do like home recordings and put stuff out on a regular basis and try just to build up a audience that way?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. And a big thing that I'm going to start doing in the second portion of this year is recording covers, because that's not really something that I've done very much at all. Like, I put out a couple Christmas covers last year. But I mean, certainly if people don't know my music, how are they going to know what to search for? So I definitely want to start doing some covers and maybe pulling in some fans that way, because I think I could do some pretty good covers of me just playing and singing, or me just doing a fully produced cover even. There's a lot of stuff like that on YouTube, a lot of a cappella covers that are really cool. So I think that's something I would definitely want to explore as well, and maybe get some people to follow me that way. But who knows? I don't know.
Well, I certainly think an appearance on this podcast will lead to global superstardom. So,
yeah, definitely. That's what Barry was telling me.
That's right. Get ready for the major record labels to come knocking on the door. But Cody, you seem remarkably level-headed, and I think it's been really, really interesting to talk to you. And I think it's kind of cool to me, Jim. I'm kind of excited about sort of getting in on the ground floor see where this is going to kind of go. I think it's really cool.
That's great. So thanks very much for coming on our show.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for, I'm so appreciative of you guys having me, and thank you. I'll look at the camera, cause I feel like I haven't really done that very much. I've mostly been looking at the screen, but thank you, Barry, for giving me your guest appearance. I really appreciate it. Yeah. This was a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, Cody, I don't know if Barrett has said anything to you, but or maybe he doesn't want to, but we do have a Friday night thing where people come on and sort of play.
Yeah, he did mention that. Okay, I might have to come on there sometime.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Love to have you.
Especially if you'll play piano. I think we don't get enough, you know, keyboardists on that thing. It's mostly, you know, as you can imagine, guitarists.
Guitar players, definitely.
So sad guys playing sad songs on guitar.
Yeah, if I'm free one of these Fridays, man, that'd be great, I'll definitely come on and play some stuff. Jam.
For sure.
We would love it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Cody Piper. Thanks for being
Cody
on
Piper,
the show.
Everybody check him out. He's got those songs that he mentioned there on Spotify. And where is the best place for people to follow you? Do you have a YouTube, Cody? Is that where you would like to point people, or...?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel that's just, if you search my name, Cody Piper, C-O-D-Y, then that comes up. And then I have social media. My Facebook page is facebook.com/CodyPiper, just my name. And then my Twitter and Instagram are both Cody C. Piper, the letter C, which is my middle initial, because I couldn't get the OG handle, but maybe one of these days.
And I know how it is. Well, I'm following you now on Twitter, so that is Cody C. Piper, twitter.com/CodyCPiper. So follow Cody and come along with us, folks, and see where this musical journey leads. I think it's going to be kind of cool.
It's very exciting. So, and again, thanks to Barrett Reese. And if anyone else would like to be a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod, and you can find the information there. Yep. And if anybody would like to comment on this show, you can call and leave a message on our phone line, 612-440-1984. Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those are at Suburbs Pod. No C in the middle, just Suburbs Pod, right? Okay.
That's right.
And what should we play out with here, Cody?
Oh man. Gotta be a Beatles song, I feel like.
Oh, I was talking about one of your songs.
Your music.
Oh, one of my songs. Okay. Well, all right. Well, a Beatles song probably would have been a better song, but we could play, you could go with It's Only You. That's a good one.
Okay. Right. That was the first single, right?
Yeah, the debut.
All right. Very cool. All right. We will do that. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been Cody Piper. Thanks again, and we'll talk to all you guys later.
I never thought you'd ignore me. I never thought you could burn. Even though you've always stayed right next to me. I never knew you'd avoid me at every other turn. When all I want is time to spend with you. But it's only you. Everybody wants to put you down, and it's only you that matters. It's only you. Everybody wants to sell you out if you only knew. It's only you. It's only you. Everybody wants to put you down, and it's only you that matters. And it's only you. Everybody wants to sell you out if you only knew. It's only you that matters. And it's only you. Everybody wants to sell you out if you only knew. It's only you. Only you. Everybody wants to put you down. And it's only you that matters. And it's only you. Everybody wants to sell you out if you. It's only you.
Don't really know what to expect, I guess.
Neither do we.